Right, if you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17, this morning. We're going to backtrack just a little as we walk through the Word. I trust that your daily reading is going well and encourage you to engage in conversation with others about it. I'll give you an opportunity to go a little deeper. The last few weeks, we've spent encouraging one another to live our life with confidence before God, with the reality that as we walk with God every day, it should give us a boldness, an understanding in His ways to approach Him and talk to Him and share our requests with Him. We've also given you the challenge to post your prayers or circle them and commit to praying for those needs. Remember, I've asked you the question, and maybe we can reiterate that this morning. Let's just take a moment and do a systems check in our own hearts, so don't answer out loud. What is your problem? You know everybody has a problem, right? You may think you don't have a problem. Well, ask your significant other and they'll share it with you. We all have a problem. We all have a need. We all have an issue. We all have a thing in our life that we need help with. And if you remember or recall, I've encouraged you to think of it this way. If there's one thing that you could change about your life that would make all the difference, what would that one thing be? And I've asked you to circle it in prayer, consistently take it to the Father every single day and see what God will do if you do that, if you have confidence before Him. But let's think about this as we do our systems check. Let's evaluate our issue. The issues in our life, when they rise up every day, do you try to solve them yourself? Do you try to fix the problem? Most of us do, right? Like, you have a certain threshold before you're going to go to the doctor, because we all hate doing that, or the dentist. We all have our problems, or those issues that break around the house are like, oh, I can take care of it. But at some point down the road, there, you draw a line and say, okay, I need help. I need someone else to fix it. So let me ask you this question. Your thing, your it, your issue, your problem, what's the solution? If you have a need that if it was met could change everything about your life, what's the solution? Have you figured that out yet? Well, today I want to talk about that. And I want to reflect on an individual in Scripture that we all know well and see how he handled it and maybe how God has made the difference. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll look at Genesis chapter 17 together. Father, we come to you this morning and we open your word. And God, I pray that you'll give us an opportunity just to to listen with fresh ears. God, we know this story well. We know these people well. But today I pray that you'll help us to see things from a different perspective. And that, God, that would help us to understand how we should walk and how we should handle difficulty in our own lives. So God, as we read your word today, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive it, that you would open our ears to hear, give us minds to understand. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 17. We've been journeying with Abram, and we all know about Father Abraham, and we all know his story. As we've read in Genesis, we see that covenant established. Abraham is called, or Abram is called out, right? And he left his people, and he took his family, and he journeyed. And we see again that covenant established, and that covenant relationship initiated as God and Abraham walked in between, or in the midst of the sacrifice. You remember that as you read, and the animals were cut in half, and they walked between them. And then we see again that covenant established here in chapter 17 again, or reminded or reaffirmed between Abram and God. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now when Abram was 99 years old. Have you guys paid attention to numbers as we've gone through? It's been interesting to read and remember or reflect on, like, when people were born and when significant events happened. Real interesting. A lot of times when we read the text, we assume things that aren't there. Like, for instance, I was talking with some of you this morning about Ishmael, when Hagar placed him under the bush to die. A lot of us read that and assume it was a baby. He was about 15 years old, pretty much an adult, yet he could not stand on his own. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, here we see that covenant reestablished, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. So nothing new here, same covenant reaffirmed with Abram. And Abram, verse 3, fell on his face, and God talked with him. Have you noticed the interactions that have taken place as we've read between man and God? Just how free that conversation flows? You ever crave that or desire that? Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, and he said this, verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall you be named Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Here we see that same covenant reiterated, yet this time something happens. God changes Abram's name. Now, what's the problem here? You guys know. What's the issue? Abram's got a problem. God has promised him to be the father of a nation, but there's a problem. What's the problem? What? He doesn't have any kids. He's getting older, right? We even see as we've read the next few chapters that when Sarah is shared the information, how does she respond? She laughs. She says this, you mean to tell me that in my old age that I am to have the pleasure of conceiving and giving birth to a son? She laughs at God. Abram's got a problem. We see the promise. We see his faithfulness. We read in Hebrews about his faith led him. Yet there is not just a little problem. It's a big problem. He has no children. Yet God again affirms the covenant and changes his name. Now, names are significant, and they have meaning. I'm sure if you look in your Bible right now, you can see a footnote that would maybe explain something about the name change. Does anyone have anything there? What are we given? Any explanation in the footnote? What is it? Exalted Father. Yet names mean something. If we look at Sarah, you can probably find a name when she changed her name in verse 15. We'll look at that here in just a minute. Did anyone read, what chapter was it? It was the second interaction with Abraham and Abimelech. You guys remember that? That was centered around a well. Did y'all read that account this week? What was the well called? What chapter was that in? What was the name of the well? B- Beersheba was the name of the well. That has meaning. Do you have a footnote that explains that meaning? Well of oath, right? Well of an oath or well of seven. That Beersheba means that. Why is seven significant there? It's an important number, but if you read the text, you discover that there is an exchange of lambs. And how many? Seven. And there was an oath made, right, between Abram and Abimelech there. Names mean something. And we can all see that in the text. As we continue reading and we see Isaac and the descendants that follow and why they're named, what they're named, and how incredible. Why do you think God changes Abram's name to Abraham? In a lot of ways, it seems to be a turning point, right? Because we're getting closer to this threshold happening and Abram's family multiplying. But what's so special about this? There's something here that maybe you've never caught. I would probably say you haven't, because you have to read extremely closely for you to catch and understand what takes place. Let's take, I always try to avoid these kind of things, but there's just something really cool happening that we can't miss when we read. If you read the original language, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, the language is different, and it's very frustrating from time to time to read. But something happens right here in the text that's incredible that you miss if you don't understand the original language. So when you read Hebrew, if you pick up a Hebrew Bible, you would read it from back to front according to our language. So they're kind of backwards and right to left. So you pick up a book, instead of opening it this way, you would open it this way, and you would read from back to front, right to left. It's kind of interesting the way that works. So that's why I'm going to write the way I'm going to write. So here you're going to see that is Abram's name in Hebrew. Okay? Four letters. Now, something different from Hebrew than English is there are no vowels. They're added. And there are dots and dashes above and below the words. I'm not going to add those because they're extremely complicated. Basically, this is Abram's name. And God says, you are no longer to be called Abram. You are now to be called Abraham. You see the difference? This right here is the only thing different. That letter is called a hey. Now you get why I was acting a fool this morning, right? God added a hey to Abram's name. One slight change made all the difference. So that was verse 5. Look with me at verse 15. I got to reopen my Bible. I closed it. Verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarah, you shall not call her by the name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. When we read that, we think that's a little silly. Insignificant, especially when we look at the meaning of the word, they don't really change. It doesn't change much at all until you look at the language. You see, if you look at Sarah's name, you discover something. This is Sarai. Three letters. But guess what happens when you change the name to Sarah? What do you think God adds? God adds a hey. To both names, slight change, God interjects a little hey. into their name. Why? Why do you think he does that? Or why does it happen this way? Well, here's a little background on this letter. The He is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, the Hebrew language is alphanumeric. There's a lot less letters than the Hebrew or the English language. We have a lot more words than ancient Hebrew has as well. So you have to be extremely creative with how you write. And so every letter corresponds with a number, and that's important. The fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the He, it carries the value or the idea of grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Jewish understanding. In Jewish thought for the day, we have to remember that our culture is removed from that culture, so understanding their culture is significant. So when they would see this or hear this, it means something a little more than for us. In Jewish thought, this letter, the fifth letter, the letter He, signifies creative power. It brings with it the understanding that you have the potential to, listen, the potential to conceive. Is that important here? Very, very important. Now listen to this. It also carries with it the understanding that you have, with that letter, the opportunity to give birth to the promises of God. Look, turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm 33, real quick. When you land on it, say, hey. All right, we're together. Psalm 33, verse 6. The psalmist says this, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." Let's reflect just for a minute. We were just there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do that? Did he use a magic wand or did he use his finger? How did he create in the beginning? With a word, God spoke. And by the breath of his mouth, all their lights. With just his breath, just the spirit or breath of God, everything came to be. Incredible. Incredible. That He carries that spirit or that breath. If you think about the pneuma, the spirit, or the ruach, the spirit of God, that guttural is that He that we're familiar with in Genesis 1 and 2. By the word of God, by the breath of God, everything came to be. And then he made man and woman out of the dust of the ground. You remember this? And how did Adam come to life? God breathed into him. You see, what God is trying to communicate here to both Abram and Sarah is the reality that God is breathing life into something that's barren, something that's dead, a womb that is empty and dry and worthless. God is breathing life into it, just as he did with Adam and Eve. Just as the psalmist says in Psalm 33, verse 6, here we see the fulfillment of a covenant promise with the birth of a child, which kind of reminds you of somebody else, doesn't it? I think I heard a little bit about y'all's discussion in Sunday school, the connection between Isaac and Jesus, and the reality that there was something significant about the birth of each, which helps us to understand how Mary conceived a little bit better by the breath or the spirit of God. You see here what God is communicating with the little He is that, you know what, I'm remembering you and I have the power to give you life. I have the power to meet your need and to solve your problem if you would just trust in me. Let's go back for a minute to our internal checks. And let's reflect on our problem. What's your problem? It may be greater than Sarah's problem. Or it may be less significant. Nevertheless, you have a problem that you probably are trying to solve. What if you added a little hay to it? Here's what I mean by that. Have you ever heard of the phrase, well, they're just a breath of fresh air? You ever heard that? That's what my mind is just rested on this week as I've studied this section. Maybe you just need a breath of fresh air in your life. Maybe you need the Spirit of God to breathe fresh air over you and allow you to be filled with His Spirit and His power to solve your problem. Both Abraham and Sarah had an issue that they both tried to solve on their own. You remember that? The knuckleheads tried to fix God's issue or fulfill God's promise on their own. We do that every single day, don't we? I know, God, you want me to do this, and here, let me help you out a little bit. Or sometimes we feel God's not listening or God's not responding quickly enough, so I'm going to step in and take care of it. And usually when that happens, we create a bigger mess, don't we? And we see that with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael. See, here's the reality. Oftentimes we put the people that we read about in Scripture on a pedestal, but we have to remember something. They were human, just like us. They had problems, just like us. What set them apart? You can say, well, Abraham was faithful, and he's in the hall of faith, and he's Father Abraham, and he's the father of a nation. Yeah, but he's a knucklehead that made silly decisions from time to time, just like me. And here's something that we skirt sometimes. You're human just like him, just like her, and God has a calling on your life to do something significant for His kingdom. Are you faithful? Well, what's the difference maker? Because we know Abram couldn't accomplish it on his own. He needed help. Well, God was able to step in and be enough and make the difference. So maybe for you, maybe the solution to your problem is you need a breath of fresh air. You need a little hay. You need to trust that God is enough and God is going to hear you and God is going to answer. Let me end with this. What could God do in your life that you can't? What could God do in your life that you can't do on your own? Do you trust Him to do it? Do you believe enough to talk to Him about it? Are you faithful enough to walk with Him, believing that He's going to step in and make all the difference and add a little hay? Say, Pastor, hay's for horses. Not today. Hay is that little change that's just enough to meet our needs. It's that breath of fresh air that God's desperately wanting to breathe out in your life. Will you let Him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word and the truth that we find within. God, it's incredible how amazing You have put this book together for us to learn about you, to trust in you, to follow you. God, we see through these individuals how you're paving the way and setting forth a plan of redemption. We see hints of Jesus all over the scriptures we're reading every day. And God, I pray that we would never forget that as we walk through life and we struggle and toil, our insecurities and insufficiencies are quickly revealed, but remind us, God, that you're enough, that you are enough, and that you can make all the difference. So God, help us to trust in you. Believing that you can stand in the gap for us. God, I pray that you would give us a passion and a desire to dig deeper in your word and to follow you closely. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.